Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenblum.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the ninth floor, but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and more to my blade. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote.
Stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
I am Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage. Let's find out who else is here. Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not going to make anyway. You guys suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
Toby!
Oh my God, this sucks!
Random Bears fan.
As a brother, we do, we suck!
Terry Bourne!
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Liam Hendricks!
I wouldn't say seeking perfection, it's just mainly trying not to suck.
Julie Swyka.
Man, that sucks.
Wilson Contreras.
Losing suck, I'll tell you that, and that's all I can say.
George Wendt.
We had fun, but there you go. I sucked.
Garth Algar.
Turn it off, man! Turn it off! It's sucking my will to live!
Legend Steve Dahl.
Disco sucks! Disco sucks!
Candace Parker.
It sucks.
Roquan Smith.
Yeah, man. Sucks.
Zach LaVine.
It sucks to have it happen game one.
DeMar DeRozan.
You know, it just sucks.
Justin Fields backup coach, Mike Tomlin.
It all sucks. There's not degrees of suck. It all sucks.
Josh Allen.
Sucks. Losing sucks. Sucks.
Pete Fairbanks.
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.
That's the best. Pete Fairbanks. AJ Pierzynski.
They should have just come out and said, hey, we're going to suck this year. And everyone would have been like, okay.
Pedro Grifol.
We're 20 games in. Our record sucks.
World Series bound Michael Kopech.
It sucks, man. There's no easy way to put it.
Mark Burley.
So it did suck.
JD Martinez.
They say we suck, we suck. Let's suck. Let's go suck together. Let's go have fun sucking.
Bob Costas.
I also don't understand, or maybe I should just applaud you, for having the self-confidence to label your own show Saturday Suckage.
Tyler Farengel.
I suck, so you don't have to.
There you go. That's our mantra. That's our goal. That's our mission, and we do it because we're dedicated to humanity. Welcome to Saturday Suckage, where, again, we suck so you don't have to. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Phone number here at the Score, 312-644-6767. That'll get you to our listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That number 312-644-6767 also gets you to the Scores text line. Okay. We got stuff going on today. We're going to be giving away stuff, a Saturday Suckage surprise. We're going to be giving away a couple tickets twice to an event that will be happening in the Scores, in the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage. And we'll tell you about that later. We'll do that twice today. We're also going to have a web poll about who you hate watch. I'll give you your choices in about 40 minutes. We're going to have football, football, football. It's what we do. The Bears may have a bye, but we don't. We're here for that. So let's start with football and the Bears and this question. How much is too much for Max Crosby? Because I want to get there. I want to find out. I want him here. If the Bears could get the Raiders' destructive edge rusher for Carolina's second-round pick, which is going to be like a first-round pick, even better than a first-round pick, is Carolina's going to suck again, maybe have the worst record. So they will have the first pick in the second round, which is not have all the guarantees that the first-round choices do. That's a valuable pick the Bears have. If you could do that, okay, give them the Steelers' pick for Justin Fields. Could be a fourth rounder, right? Give away other draft choices you've acquired. You can keep your own. Second, the maybe fourth rounder. What are you saving draft choices for? I know you're doing it to get better, but you're not going to draft a guy any better than Crosby. You're the Bears. You're 4-2. You're playoff caliber. The whole division is. You're 4-2, and you're looking up at the division. And the good news is you have more cupcakes coming up before the division games. It would be Crosby's preseason with the Bears and vice versa. Max Crosby has 5.5 sacks in 5 games this year. For a team in disarray and a coach he shoved away on the sideline and just general mismanagement. Max Crosby has averaged 11.1 sacks in his 6 NFL seasons. He had 14.5 sacks last year and 12.5 the year before. He turned 27 in August. That there is a key number. When the Bears acquired Khalil Mack, again, a noted Raiders pass rusher, he too is 27. He averaged 12 sacks a year for the Bears, even when he didn't play every game. What part of prime of his career don't you understand? Let's compare Max Crosby to Montez Sweat, who desperately needs somebody on the other side. Sweat is a multiplier. When the Bears got him, there was some question. Is he a multiplier, or did he get multiplied by the other strong defensive lineman in Washington? Well, he's a multiplier. We've seen it with Jervon Dexter, among others. But here's the thing with Crosby. He's a multiplier, and he could multiply Sweat. Now you're talking. Sweat is 28, which means Ryan Poles seized on the chance to get him when he was 27, same as Crosby now. Seems to be a key number in defensive, in edge rushers, in game-wrecking guys. What part of prime of his career don't you understand? Sweat has 2.5 sacks in 6 games this season. He could use a multiplier on the other side. Here, go double team that guy, and I'm going to go have some fun. Sweat had 12.5 sacks last year, 6 for the Bears in 9 games, 6.5 for the Commanders in 8 games. Sweat also had 12.5 sacks the season before with the Commanders when he made the Pro Bowl. Sweat has averaged 9.1 sacks a season in his career. So let's review. Crosby has averaged 2 more sacks a season than Sweat. Count them, 2. Maybe 1 or both changed the game. Crosby has 3 double-digit sack seasons and is headed toward a 4th this year, wherever he plays. Sweat has 2 double-digit seasons in sacks. If Sweat was worth a second-round pick from the Bears, then Crosby certainly is worth that and more. I heard talk that it might be, oh, you got to give up two first rounders. That's where it starts. No. That's a former GM talking who's used to getting pantsed or sitting there as if he's demanding, no, I got to need two first rounders. You can say what you want. The market is the market. Figure out how to make the money work. Get this guy. You will need an additional stud like this against the Lions' big line. Not to mention the Lions are rumored to be in this derby for Crosby because they've got to replace injured Aiden Hutchinson, probably the best defensive lineman out there. Broke his leg, gone for the year. I know the Bears could use, at the break, we assess everything, right? At the bye, right? Bears could use a stud offensive lineman. They always need a stud offensive lineman. If only they had an offensive lineman as a GM to understand this. But they don't come loose. I'm looking at this. I'm applying my thoughts with Crosby and the Bears offensive line the same way I have heard Steve Stone, broadcasting legend, explain the old Orioles approach. When they lost a hitter, they traded for pitching. When they lost a hitter, they traded for pitching. Remember Steve Stone saying, hey, Hank Peters would say, hey, watch this. They lost somebody. Hey, this. They went and got another pitcher. The Bears are highly unlikely to find a stud offensive lineman in trade right now. It's near impossible. But Crosby's out there the way Sweat was out there. And he said, I'm not here to rebuild. That's where the Raiders are. Wherever I am, I'm here to win. I'm going to win. I want to win. Sweat was out there. The Bears went and got him. Ryan Poles went and got him. Look how much better everything went. It all looked better. Look how much more hope you had as a Bears fan and how much terror opponents faced. Now, to a good defense, you add Crosby, a guy who's been to three Pro Bowls and has gotten votes as Defensive Player of the Year. Imagine what a terrifying defense, a pass rush, closest to the quarterback. Imagine what that could do to Jared Goff, who already has issues with the Bears. And God, the Bears need something to finally stop the Packers quarterback and the Packers, period. That has not been a fun subject. Maybe Max with two X's solves that. Sam Darnold, look, I don't know. It's like he cut a deal with God or the devil. He turned damn Yankees into damn Vikings. Crosby would help shorten opponent drives. He would help get the ball back for Caleb Williams while he learns all about the NFL, and his learning curve has been accelerated already. We can see it. We'll talk about that later in the show. Maybe you need Crosby not just to raise the Bears' wonderful turnover numbers. They're great. But to score. To score. Defensive touchdowns. Maybe Max Crosby gets there, strip, sack, score. There you go.
Is Max Crosby and Montez Sweat the best pass rushing duo in the NFL if Ryan Poles makes that happen?
They're not here yet, but they're certainly in the team picture and they're sitting down on the quarterback's head. That's where that is. Ryan Poles doesn't know how to build an offensive line, but he certainly knows what he wouldn't want to face if he were a lineman. He certainly wouldn't want to face Max Crosby. So trade for Max Crosby. Look, I don't know if the Bears can win the Super Bowl this year or next, but I know their chances are better with Crosby this year and next. And I also know they have to win the Super Bowl in the next 4 years because of Caleb Williams' rookie contract. That's how it's done. That's part of the path. Ryan Poles, why isn't Max Crosby here yet? I'll hang up and listen for my answer. We'll take a break, And when I come, I think I speak for all of the NFC North when I say Sam Darnold. 5-0 Vikings take on the 4-1 Lions tomorrow. The game of the day for the Bears. Well, the day of the way of the game, the game of the day for the Bears fans during a bye week. We will get a rundown of Lions and the game and Hutchinson's injury and their view of the Vikings from Will Birchfield of our Odyssey station, 97.1, The Ticket in Detroit. This is Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Next, Chicago Sports Radio.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday Suckage. I'm going to tell you this now. Download the Odyssey app. Search for 670 The Score and tap follow to receive alerts on our Bears coverage. And if you can't get enough, and who can, check out the Take the North podcast with Mark Grody and Dan Wiederer, breaking down the biggest storylines ahead of next week's showdown against the Commanders. Follow Take the North on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. On the Odyssey app, you will find our next guest. Joining me on the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois is Will Birchfield from 97.1 The Ticket. And he's going to hear to talk Lions and Vikings and Bears. Oh, my. Will, thanks for taking time out today.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Much appreciated.
So the Lions, face the Vikings, and we're all, I think the question we all have is Sam Darnold? So how do the Lions view that, the 5-0 Vikings, like, ruining their fiefdom, the 4-1 Lions will attempt to wrestle back their top of the NFC standings. So what's the scouting report? What's the view from Detroit on this game tomorrow?
I think the scouting report begins with the Vikings defense. I mean, they've been dominant through five games, historic in many ways in terms of their start, and that Brian Flores aggressive attacking blitzing style is a lot to handle, but I will say they feel pretty confident. I mean, they faced that Brian Flores defense twice last year and put up 30 points both times. Despite all those blitzes, only took two sacks, only turned the ball over once, put up almost 800 total yards. And when we talked to Dan Campbell yesterday, he was notably optimistic and sure of his team and the preparations this week. He said, you know, looking at this Vikings defense on tape, what we've noticed is that a lot of offenses so far haven't had the answers for the bevy of different looks that Flores defense throws at you. But he said, we feel confident that we do have the looks because I trust coordinator Ben Johnson and I trust our ability to pick up those blitzes. And so they feel confident going into Sunday's game that they can handle everything coming their way.
Well, I think one way to handle it is a former Bears favorite, a guy admired by Bears fans for his toughness and yards after contact, David Montgomery. That's one way. You if you think you have a fast defense, you run right at those fast guys and give them a big serving of David Montgomery. His part, I mean, they gave him the money. They believe in him. They give him the ball. They believe in him.
Yeah.
What is it? It seems to run counter to a lot of the thinking in the NFL, which is the way things go in the NFL. As soon as everything tilts towards passing, you're going to run the ball. David Montgomery's place in this offense and what he means to the Lions. Share with us.
Yeah, I would argue that he is as important to anyone on that offense outside of Jared Goff. And he runs with a demeanor that the rest of this offense takes on. It is forceful. It's downhill. it is willful, and that seems to permeate his teammates. And ever since he arrived here last season, he talked about being able to showcase things that he wasn't able to show in Chicago, mostly because he had never run behind an offensive line like the one he runs behind here. And he has lived up to that word. I mean, he's not just physical. He is also he's quick, and he has burst, and he has wiggle. And I think a lot of times when we contrast Montgomery with Gibbs, obviously the easy comparison is that Montgomery is the brute strength and Gibbs is the flash and dash. And while that is true, like Montgomery is also has some make you miss ability in his own right. And I think the essence of his value to this team was probably captured back in week one when they go to overtime against the Rams and they end overtime by handing the ball to David Montgomery 8 times. And he just ripped right through that Rams defense. And that's what he can do. And you talk to all of the offensive linemen in this locker room, they say to a man that it is, quote, an honor to block for a guy like David Montgomery. He makes you want to block harder because of the way he extends every play. He gains extra yards. He falls forward. They call him a tank. They call him a man possessed. They call him a psycho in the best way possible. And so, yeah, like I said, outside of Jared Goff, there's no one that kind of personifies this offense more than David Montgomery.
Yeah, and he probably will love blasting through the Bears defense, which is gotten better. My guest is Will Birchfield. He's with Odyssey's Detroit station, 97.1 The Ticket. We're talking Lions, Detroit Lions, Minnesota Vikings, the game of the day, unless you want to watch the Cupcake Panthers against the Commanders, because that's who the Bears play when it's Caleb Williams returned to his hometown and Jaden Daniels, the guy drafted after him, and did they make the right decision and all that, but that's for next week. So with Aiden Hutchinson's injury, I just spent the first 20 minutes of the show lobbying for the Bears to go get Max Crosby. And I know the Lions have been rumored to be there. It would be a scary thing for the rest of the division if the Lions could replace Aiden Hutchinson with Max Crosby. And that the reality of that, the chances of that, what's the talk of Max Crosby in Detroit? What's the reality? What are you hearing?
Yeah, I still think it's pretty far-fetched, mostly because I don't see the Raiders trading Max Crosby for anything less than legitimately 2 first-round picks. And I don't see Brad Holmes mortgaging the Lions' future like that. Ever since he and Dan Campbell arrived, they have emphasized building this team through the draft. And if you look back at their first draft, they discovered 3 pillars of this rebuild, and Penei Sewell and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Aleem McNeil, and the next draft with Hutchinson and now Jameson Williams coming on, and then the draft after that with Jahmyr Gibbs and Brian Branch and Sam Laporta and Jack Campbell. And this is a team that has been constructed with draft picks, and I just have a hard time envisioning Brad Holmes sacrificing 2 first-round picks. And now that's not to say that they won't call the Raiders, and it's not to say that if the price comes down that they won't consider a move, but if he is someone that costs them 2 first-round picks, I just don't see it happening, even though I do think Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell feel a sense of obligation to this group of players and this team to give them the best chance to win the Super Bowl. I do think they'll make a move, maybe for more of like a mid-tier pass rusher, like say a Za'Darius Smith or an Eric Armstead, even someone like Dietrich Wise from the Patriots, I think is a guy they would look at. Mostly players who are pending free agents and would cost more like a 4th or 5th round pick and just one of them. I think that's a more realistic move for this team to make, but it certainly makes for good fodder in approach of the trade deadline. And with the way that Crosby is beginning to talk about his future with the Raiders in somewhat doubtful terms, it does make you wonder if they'll explore shopping him in the next month. And they'll have plenty of teams calling, the Lions included.
Will Birchfield is my guest from Detroit's 97.1 The Ticket. We're talking Lions and Vikings and Bears, oh my. And the more Max Crosby talks, the more the price comes down. Because he kneecaps the Raiders' leverage. Somebody should go there. If the Raiders had anybody with sense, they would go and say, Max, shut up. But he's an honest guy, and he's already... Yeah. But he's already told you... He's already given away the playbook. It's, I'm not here for a rebuild. And that's where the Raiders are. And that lowered the price. This two first-round stuff came from a former GM who was talking crazy, I think, because I just don't see that happening. Now, there may be another Ryan Pace out there who will find a way to give away all the draft capital he has. I just see that's I see that as a great hard sell. But getting back to the absence of Aiden Hutchinson, let's say Max Crosby doesn't go there. Let's say he doesn't move. God forbid he goes to the Packers. That would be ugly. But if the Lions continue this way, how does that ferocity stay? How does that production stay at the top level? How does Dan Campbell cobble this together to keep that team as Super Bowl ready as it has looked before?
Yeah, well, ferocity is a good word. It's actually the same one that I used yesterday in writing a column about how the Lions go about replacing what they've lost in Hutchinson. And when you ask around the locker room and the coaching staff, they continue to point to two guys right off the top before anyone else. And this was also defensive line coach Terrell Williams saying this yesterday. They point to Aleem McNeil and DJ Reader in the middle. And obviously the Lions need to find someone who can apply pressure off the edge, and they're working through that. But they feel like they have an interior duo that can wreak havoc. And I think most teams in the NFL, one way or another, find a way to rush the passer on the edge. That interior pass rush, I think, is much harder to find. And they feel like between McNeil and Reader and even Levi Onwuzurike, who has played a little bit of D-tackle, defensive end, hybrid role, they have the guys to apply pressure on teams up the middle. And Aleem McNeil is the very essence of ferocity. I mean, he talks about, quote, biting people's faces off. Said, you know, all we really have as defenders now in the NFL is the ability to instill fear in the offense. And so he plays with as much violence as anyone that I've covered in the NFL. And you can say the same thing for DJ Reader in a lot of ways. So, look, they'll learn lean on guys on the outside like Josh Pascal. I think they'll give Onwuzurike some reps out there, and I do think they'll make a move to bring someone in. But I think kind of in a roundabout way, when it goes to replacing some of the pass rush loss, it begins in the middle with McNeil and Reader. And if you watch McNeil's game last week, it was by far his best game. And, of course, he signs the $97 million deal 2 days later. If only he had two sacks earlier, they would have given him that money then, of course. But if you go back and look at that game, like, he bullied all-pro guard Zach Martin on a couple one-on-one reps. And then the Lions, after Hutchinson went down, ran a whole bunch of different stunts and twists up front. And to me, that's how they have to, as you said, cobble together a pass rush without Hutchinson. Guys have to win one-on-one, and then coordinator Aaron Glenn has to scheme guys getting home to the passer as much as possible.
I don't think Bears fans want to hear anything about a pass rush up the middle or terror in the interior. Because while the line has played better of late against some of the worst teams ever constructed, the terror comes from the interior of the Bears' offensive line. That's where the biggest questions are. And now you're saying that Aleem McNeil has followed Dan Cannibal's idea of eating kneecaps and eating faces and things like that. Is he double teamed on every play, or is that what the Bears are going to have to worry about?
So I would say he was often double teamed last year, and part of the reason the Lions were so excited about getting Reader in here is that he occupies double teams now too. I mean, if you don't double team DJ Reader at the nose, he's going to destroy one-on-ones. And so it's not a coincidence that McNeil has made a bigger impact as DJ Reader has found his footing in this defense. Obviously, he had the surgery last December for the torn quad, and he was slow to kind of find himself. He didn't play much in training camp, and they gave him a light workload early on. As he's played more and demanded more attention from offensive lines, Aleem McNeil has found himself in more one-on-one matchups, and that's when he can really go to work. He was always someone that could stuff the run. He's grown a lot as a pass rusher in the past season and a half, and it's why the Lions paid him like they did. I mean, he is now, based on that money, the fourth highest paid defensive tackle in the NFL. They believe that he is that caliber of a player. And I think in Hutchinson's absence, it will highlight all of McNeil's growth. He's a player who is like on the verge of stardom. I think by the end of this year, we'll be talking about him as a Pro Bowl caliber defensive tackle.
My guest is Will Birchfield from Odyssey's Detroit Station 97.1, The Ticket. We're talking Lions and Bears and Vikings and the Amon St. Ra and Amon Ra St. Brown. I'm sorry, I got too many syllables there and I can't get them right. So he's not wrecked games and yet they've not needed him to. I mean, they put up 40 points, 47 points, 49 points. They pants Dallas. They clowned him. They had offensive linemen, defensive linemen, everybody running pass patterns. It was like fantasy football, David. And that kind of camp out there. And yet, if they're 4-1 and he really hasn't had the St. Brown kind of year, tell us about his attitude and what is that? How does that bode for the Lions offense?
Yeah, so I actually just wrote about this a couple days ago as well. His attitude is exactly what you'd expect out of a team captain, and that's a focus on winning. And I actually asked him this week, you know, how do you balance your personal goals with the team goals? He's someone who sets exceedingly high individual goals every year. And last year it was 150 catches, which would have been an NFL single season record. He came up shy with 120, real bad year, 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns, and he did hit the latter two marks. And I would imagine that his goals are even higher than that this year, and he's well behind the pace of them, if so. But he said, you know, the number one focus for me and the number one goal is to win games. And he also pointed out that, look, if we're scoring 40 points in back-to-back weeks, we're obviously doing something right. And St. Brown's going to get the ball. I think one thing worth noting is that with his quieter start has come Jamison Williams' emergence. I mean, there are so many talented playmakers on this offense that if you double any of them, you're going to have a lot of guys running free or at least running on one-on-one matchups. And J-Mo has certainly benefited from that. But if you look at the rate at which Amon-Ra St. Brown has been doubled versus the rate at which he is still getting open, it's as impressive as really any receiver in the NFL. So Jared Goff trusts Amon-Ra St. Brown more than anyone else in that offense. He will get him the ball, but he won't force him the ball. And the Lions, as an offense, are comfortable with that. And as you said, he hasn't really had a St. Brown-type game yet, and here they are with the number one scoring offense and number three yardage offense in the NFL through five games. So it feels like even after back-to-back 40-point outbursts that this offense is kind of just getting going, and St. Brown will be doing some feasting one way or another.
Will, I appreciate it. Terrific job. Thank you for sharing your knowledge with us, and hope to catch up with you later when the Bears and Lions are actually going to play, and we'll keep our hands and feet inside Dan Cannibal's tram just to make sure. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. I'd be remiss not to shout out a couple Chicago locals. Just want to say hi to Dale Pelletier, a.k.a. the Commish, and his wife Sue, and Quinn Pelletier and his wife Kate. So shout out to them, whether or not they're listening. Just wanted to say hi, and yeah, we'll talk soon.
Everybody listens to Saturday Suckage, Will. You need to learn that. That's how it works here in Chicago. It's you're not vetted until you're shouted out. We're doing all request radios, sending out a long. Thanks, Will. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. Talk soon.
All right, Will Birchfield from Detroit's 97.1, The Ticket, talking Lions, Bears. We're going to take a break. When I come back, I'll be giving something away because I'm a giver, not a taker. I'll be giving something away, and I have an idea for a web poll. Can you construct this, Tyler? Do you know how to do web polls? All right, we'll do that too. Top of the hour, Hub Arkish will be here. We'll talk about the Bears. We'll talk about their numbers. We'll talk about the bye week. And as they do self-scouting, what would Hub want self-scouted the most and why? I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Indeed, it is Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenblum. I suck so you don't have to. And here's what I'm going to do. I'll be giving away something. Tell you in just a moment. But first, I want to do a web poll. Because it came to me and I thought, this is something we can all relate to. We used to do web polls around here. Actually, we did web polls when I was trying to find my rapper name and seeing what stood up for a week. So, Tyler, here's our web poll. Tyler Feringle. Who do you hate watch more? See, right now you got, like, tomorrow you got the Lions and Vikings playing. You got the Packers playing, the Texans, and Panthers, Commanders. You go, oh, well, you don't have to root for any of you. You just watch. But who do you hate watch more? And here are your choices, Tyler. You ready to go?
Let's do it. I'm ready.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers' Jets. Who do you hate watch more? Jerry Jones' Cowboys. We just talked about getting his plastic face slapped by the Lions. The Packers. That's your third choice. And your fourth choice? Chairman Reinsdorf's White Sox. Who do you hate watch more? That's our web poll for Saturday Suckage. Aaron Rodgers' Jets, Jerry Jones' Cowboys, the Packers, Chairman Reinsdorf's White Sox. Okay, those are your choices. Now we're going to give away something. I'm giving away a pair of tickets to see Spiegel and Holmes live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage this Thursday. That would be October 24th, 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. They'll be joined in studio by Dave Wannstedt and other special guests. So I'm giving away two tickets. I will be doing this now, and I will be giving away two tickets in a couple hours around this time. The tickets go to the sixth caller to the Scores contest line. That's a different number. Here's the number, 312-540-0670. Two tickets, see Spiegel and Holmes live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage this Thursday, 2 to 6, joined by Wani and other special guests. 312-540-0670. Now that's a legitimate, honest giveaway. And we played it, you know, straight like that. And I told you what we were giving away. And one time, me and Grody realized everybody else was giving away this, that, and, you know, you could win Sox tickets. Sox tickets with a parking pass. You win concert tickets. You win. And if you listen to the Score during the week, you have a lot of opportunities to win things. All the real shows, all the adult shows, get to give stuff away. And Mark and I were thought, huh, it's not fair. We should give something away. Nobody ever gave us something to give away, like I'm giving you this opportunity to win a pair of tickets to see Spiegel and Holmes live. By the way, that's just a great pairing, Spiegel and Holmes. Smart, funny, nice. I mean, honest people. I love them. But that's not why you called. All right. So what Mark Grody and I decided to do is we would take a picture of what other shows got to give away. Like if there were two White Sox tickets to give away, and that's what they're giving away, that and the parking pass. We took a picture of the parking pass, and somehow we posted it. Brett Lyons was our producer. And we gave away to like the 10th caller to the like the regular phone line, regular Score number, the caller line, where all the listeners call in to tell us how wonderful we are. Great show, guys. Long-time caller, first-time listener kind of thing. So we took a picture of the parking pass and the 10th caller, and we interviewed them, got a picture of the parking pass that another show gave out. And Mitch Rosen, our high lord and master, Spilkus, filled his pants. And here's why. And it's understandable because there are rules with contests. There are regulations. There are things you have to follow. You have to do it right. The government's involved in this. They put me on the air each week hoping I don't cost them their license. And the contest thing just sent Spilkus all Spilkusy. But we did. We gave away a picture of the parking pass that, say, Boris and Bernstein gave away in their package. Because that's all we were good enough to do on Saturday Suckage, is give away pictures of what the other shows gave. And then we were told to stop that. So we stopped that. But I think it was really smart. I thought it was fun. And that's the way giveaways should be. You should do stuff like that. All right, later in the show, let me tell you what else is going on. Later, top of the hour, we'll talk to Hub, senior NFL analyst, talking about the Bears, the bye week, games he's watching, and why this week with the Bears to get ready to see Caleb Williams go back to his hometown, Washington, D.C., against the guy drafted behind him, Commanders, Bears, a week from tomorrow, into the primetime, well, the 3:25 window, late afternoon window. And at 1 o'clock, Aaron Lemming of 24/7 Sports and SB Nation writes about the Bears. He will be here, and we'll talk to him about the Bears, the good, the bad, what they're doing, what they need to get better. 12:25, here's what I got planned. Stadium BS. The B stands for Bears, and the S stands for Sox. And they've both been a lot of BS in this. And I'm just going to go right through that.
Rosie, you don't feel a nice breeze on the lakefront right now like last week?
I'm sorry. I'm just not going to listen to that sanctimonious fraud do that without commenting. Did we have somebody win?
Yes, we have a winner.
Did we have one person call six times? Did our audience? We had one. Our audience, our one listener, he called six times, and when we finally had to give it away?
Not necessarily, but we did have a sixth caller, or a lucky number six, I shall say.
Okay. Well, I'm glad.
Oh, and also, when would you like an update on your Twitter poll? We have about 100 votes already in.
We did it 5 minutes ago.
Well, yeah, but I was doing the giveaway. Do you want an update?
Yeah, I do. Let's update it before we go to break.
So right now, actually, 119 votes are in. The kind of runaway leader so far is the Packers at 47.9%.
That's who you'd hate watch. Now, your choices are Aaron Rodgers' Jets and Jerry Jones' Cowboys, the Packers and Sherman Reinsdorf's White Sox. That's, you would hate watch the Packers more than you would hate watch. Of course, you can't really watch the White Sox now.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Packers are first. We have Aaron Rodgers' Jets second at 21.6. Jerry Reinsdorf Sox at 19.8, and Jerry Jones' Cowboys at 9.9%.
All right. So we'll talk about Stadium BS in the 12 o'clock hour and Caleb's numbers. Caleb's got some numbers. We'll mull them over. In the last hour, before we get out of here at 2, the cultural zeitgeist, we have some like baseball stuff that is outstanding. There's some audio. There's just some momentous. Baseball always ties itself together, and that's what happened last night. That's what happened this week, and we have a movie anniversary that is outstanding. There's stuff I just didn't know about this movie. You can become immersed in it. And the Wake and Bake Club, we have wonderful audio. We've not had a Wake and Bake Club meeting for a while. We have outstanding audio. We'll share with you that. That's coming up. Next, Hub Arkush, the Bears, the NFC North, the best division in football. And where does that go from here? I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app